A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Peter proceeded to speak and said, "You know what has happened all over Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. He went about doing good and healing all those oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. This man God raised on the third day and granted that he be visible, not to all the people, but to us, the witnesses chosen by God in advance, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commissioned us to preach to the people and testify that he is the one appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him will receive forgiveness of sins through his name." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. Give praise to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. Let the house of Israel say, his mercy endures forever. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. The Lord's right hand has done mighty deeds. His right hand is exalted. I shall not die, I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. By the Lord has this been done, a marvel in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Colossians. Brothers and sisters, if then you were raised with Christ, seek what is above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Think of what is above and not what is on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, your life, appears, then you too shall appear with him in glory. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Oh, hand of God raised me up. The right hand of the Lord has triumphed. I shall never die, I shall live, telling his deeds. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia,
alleluia. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. On the first day of the week, Mary of Magdala came to the tomb early in the morning while it was still dark and saw the stone removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and told them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb and we don't know where they put him." So Peter and the other disciple went out and came to the tomb. They both ran, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and arrived at the tomb first. He bent down and saw the burial cloths there, but did not go in. When Simon Peter arrived after him, he went into the tomb and saw the burial cloths there and the cloth that had covered his head, not with the burial cloths, but rolled up in a separate place. Then the other disciple also went in, the one who had arrived at the tomb first. And he saw and believed. For they did not yet understand the scripture that he had to rise from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord.
They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they put him. Whenever a loved one dies, the family members of the deceased experience things at best as being off kilter. There's this void that is created, and things that we once held as being important and so pressing and necessary are no longer the case. There's a general disorientation. We're trying to establish meaning in our lives now that this person that we've grown to know and love over the years is no longer with us in the way we had experienced them. And so it is in itself quite a challenge. And as we hear the accounts of the gospel relative to the event of Jesus resurrecting from the dead, we see that the resurrection does not leave us with a happy ever after ending. Those who had come to know Jesus and love him as he was and is are themselves now finding things at best off kilter. They're trying to reorient themselves, trying to make sense of things as this reality has come upon them. Mary Magdalene in the Gospel of John today presents a question as she goes back to Simon, Peter, and John, discovering what she never could have expected. And her assumption is that someone has taken the body. They've stolen the Lord. She echoes the sentiments of the Song of Songs, chapter 3, verse 1, where the lover is speaking of her beloved, is saying, "I sought for him, I searched here and there, and yet I could not find him." And so the dominant question presented to us in this Gospel of John is, where is Jesus? Where is he? And yet that's a question that actually dominated this gospel. Remember, in the beginning scenes, as John the Baptist was preaching and so forth, two of his disciples were with him, and then Jesus passes by. He says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." The two disciples go and begin to follow Jesus at a bit of a distance. Jesus, aware of them, turns around and asks, "What are you looking for? Rabbi, where are you staying?" And he says, "Come and see." They spent the entire day with him. And so we hear the question now again, where is Jesus? And we notice this. Last night, the witness of a young man clothed in white robes was in the tomb, and he was there to witness to Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, and Salome. And he disclosed he is not here. And now we see no figure dressed in white, but it's the empty tomb that now stands as a witness to us. The wonderful foot race between John and Simon Peter ensues. We know from all practical things that John was a teenager, so it was nothing for him to outrun the older Peter, who is believed to be at best middle-aged at this point. He's there, he waits out of respect. Peter goes in, he goes in. Peter is still overwhelmed and still in perplexity. He's still trying to recover from his thrice denial of Jesus before the event of his crucifixion. John, the beloved, he has the love of Jesus so impressed upon him that he's able to see and believe. The gift of faith is there. And yet they are still striving to come to a fuller understanding. So this believing or this belief is, in a way, it's in process. It's growing, it's developing. Each person has to encounter the same witness of the empty tomb on the basis of their own faith. No matter where we are, this is what it's called for today. And it's a faith that has been confirmed by the mystery of the one who has declared to us all things. Think about this. The Gospel of St. John began was called the preface of the gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now, in the light of the resurrection, the Word that has become flesh dwelling among us is now dwelling within the hearts and the minds of believers and the mystical body of Christ itself. Perhaps we ask ourselves, where am I recognizing Jesus today? In whom have I seen him? Am I still searching? Am I still wondering? Certainly questions will arise in our hearts, and they do. Doubts may arise. We may struggle. But the key is to struggle with an openness to the reality of the one who says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this?" was the question posed to Martha, the sister of Mary, and Lazarus. "Yes, Lord, I have come to believe that you are the Christ, the one who is coming into the world." This is God's final parable to us, the final parable of the Gospels, the parable of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. The world is if we experience it today, off kilter. Things are not as they used to be. We will hear Jesus even say to Mary Magdalene as she clings to him, because she doesn't go home. She stays and continues to weep and be downcast, and to the point where a gardener, quote-unquote, who she thinks is the gardener, it's Jesus. And she clings to his feet once he calls her by her name, and she clings to his feet. Don't, do not cling to me. Do not hold on to me. In other words, don't hold on to me the way you've always held on to me. This is a new reality now. Release me and go and tell my brothers that I am going to my Father and their Father, to my God and their God. It's a witness. It's a reality that challenges us and yet calls forth from us, elicits from us a fear and the joy of amazement at what has happened. Because what has happened to Jesus will also happen to us. For in the waters of baptism, we actually participated sacramentally in his dying and his rising. In order for this process to continue to unfold in our lives and in the whole of this creation, in the whole of the cosmos, we must be open to going forth each and every day. In fact, what we find in the accounts of the gospel in the light of the resurrection, it's not so much a testament as to what was happening to Jesus, but it's what's happening to us and in us. I encourage each one of us, let us persevere in these days. If you're able to come to the daily Mass, Easter, like Christmas, has an octave. It has 8 days. We're going to see how the scenes unfold and how they begin to look at the clues that have been left, the signs that have been left, and how God will enable them, as he continues to enable us, to believe even without having the benefit of actually seeing that which we believe. They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they put him, for they did not yet understand the scripture that he had to rise from the dead. God love you.